Behind every song is a voice, and every voice is a story. The journeys behind the voices brings life to the music that shapes each of us. Brought to you by Visible Music College and in partnership with the largest online Christian music site, New Release Today. This is Behind the Tunes, and I am your host, Austin Black. Together, we will explore those journeys, the journeys behind the artists that shape the landscape of today's music. We're today on Behind the Tunes from the Visible Music College studios with Seth Schleter. Check him out at sethschleter.com. Seth, thanks so much for hopping on today, man.
Oh, pumped to be here, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, for sure. Now, look, I was reading up on you a little bit, and you spent most of your, I guess, kind of formative years in Ohio. Is that true?
That is true.
All right. So you born in Indiana. Right?
Erie, Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, because there's an Erie, Pennsylvania, Erie, Indiana. That's what throws me off. That's what throws me off.
It's a little eerie how many Eries there are, you know?
There's a TV show back in the day on Nickelodeon about Erie, Indiana. Did you know that?
I did not. I was a sheltered homeschool kid. I didn't watch Nickelodeon.
Well, that's probably for the best. It's a dumb show anyway. And so I'm glad we're not talking about Pennsylvania because Erie, because I would get stuck calling it Indiana 15 times. So you spent your formative years in Ohio. And so I did a little research on Ohio. Where in Ohio were you? Did you live?
So I was in Toledo, Ohio from ages 13 to 18. And then I've been essentially in the Columbus area since.
All right. So I just looked up fun facts about Ohio in general. Okay. I wasn't sure what city we were dealing with. And there's a lot. Ohio's done some pretty good stuff for the old U.S. of A. and the world.
Ohio's underrated.
It is underrated. Mm-hmm. That's a great word for it, as I was reading. And so one thing is that the cash register was invented in Ohio. Did you know that?
Oh, I did not. I wish Ohio people got royalties every time the cash register is used. That'd be nice. That'd be a nice little perk to living in Ohio. It's a cash register everyone gets paid out.
They keep the potholes filled, I think.
Yeah, right.
You know? And so a guy named James Ritter, he invented the cash register because he got tired of people stealing, his workers stealing out of his money there every day. So we got that.
Yeah,
thank
I can
you,
imagine
Ohio.
That would be tiring.
Now this part was fascinating to me, is and I read two different numbers, I should have clarified, but 7 US presidents from Ohio.
I remember seeing that we have the most, like, the highest number of U.S. presidents have come from Ohio as opposed to any other state. We're bossy people.
Well, it's not only that, a lot of them died in office. So you guys won that too. Won a lot of people dying in office. So I don't know what you want to do with that, but that's
I don't know how to spin that one in a positive light.
It's free, man. It's free. You do whatever you need to do with that one. And then the hot dog was invented there in Ohio. So
wow, look at us go.
I like to think, that's a good outlook. Look at you guys go, and you did great. Well, we're not here to talk about Ohio. We're here to talk about Seth again. We're with Seth Schleter on Behind the Tunes from the Visible Music College Studios. Well, Seth, what got you into music to begin with?
Yeah, I grew up in a family that loved music. My dad would always have, either Rich Mullins playing or, Rush playing or, anything in between. So we loved music growing up and played a lot too. My dad would lead worship for us as a family. Both of my parents were involved in ministry. And so my dad would lead worship. And so we kind of grew up singing a little bit and we had a piano. And one day I think I was 5 years old and I had just seen the first Star Wars movie. And I thought it was the coolest thing in the world, as any young 5-year-old boy would, hoping you're a Jedi, trying to force choke your brother, and then it turns to real choking and that doesn't work, just that kind of fun stuff. And I went to the piano and I figured out how to play like the opening theme, you know, and like figured it all out from ear. And my parents are kind of looking at me like, oh, like you kind of have a knack for this. And so quickly signed me up for piano lessons, and I took piano lessons for 5 years. So from 5 to 10, I was taking piano, and then my teacher retired, and I didn't want to keep doing lessons, but I just wanted to keep playing. And at that point, I kind of began to venture into what do I want to play, not just like what does Bach want me to play. And so yeah, just kind of began to dive into music a little more there, learning how to kind of play by ear, and then picked up guitar in high school and kind of started leading worship in high school. And so that was kind of the beginning of the whole musical journey.
Was there a point, as far as, playing the church, leading worship some, just learn instruments? And I have a similar story as far as piano is concerned. I was like, all right, I don't want to play what I'm tired of playing about the Indian dance around the fire. All right,
Right?
let's do something else,
Let's do
And
some choir.
yeah, man, where's the cool stuff at? And so I was kind of a similar thing there, and I motivated me at that point to get after it. But is there, was there a point in there where you're like, all right, not only do I love this is what I want to do.
I kind of feel like that came a little bit later. I think I loved it, and I had dreams, we had like a whole sound system in my basement because, when my parents are going around doing ministry events and stuff, we just kind of had a whole little setup in the basement. So we had like speakers, keyboard, and I would plug in my MP3 player and play songs and play along to it. And so, you fall in love with it, and you kind of have that thought in the back of your head of like, oh, maybe this could be a career for me. But it seems so outlandish, that it wasn't really something that I think I really seriously thought was like a real possibility. It kind of was like, yeah, just so out there. And I was like, I don't really know. And my family was all telling me I had a horrible voice. Like, I would be like singing, and they're like, can you please stop? And so I like didn't really think I had anything going for me. And really what came first was in high school. High school was when I really began, when I would say I really gave my life to the Lord. So again, like been involved in ministry family, and grew up in the faith, and I feel like I knew God was real, and like I knew he created the world, and all that kind of stuff. But it wasn't until high school where I really felt like I actually like said yes to him, like made that personal yes to him. And then after that moment, I think for me it was like that's when I knew the first thing I knew was I wanted to do something for the Lord. I was like, I want to do something in ministry. I want to do something to give my life to the Lord. I've experienced him, and I want everyone I possibly can imagine to experience him. And then it was kind of asking God, what does that look like? Like, is that through speaking? Is it through writing? Is it through missions? Is it through yada yada yada? And because music had been such a part of my background, that was something that was like, all right, God, is it going to be through music? And I felt like right after high school, I ended up going to join a missionary community in Ohio called Damascus. And so while I was there and leading worship more and things like that, I really felt like God made it clear then, like, hey, this is actually a call on your life. This is something I've anointed you to do, and this is like your mission. So it was kind of like it was there. First, it was like discovering, like, I want to do something for the Lord. And then it was kind of like, and it's going to be music.
Shaking faith, but the God I know says it ain't over. The God I know is gonna make a way. Yeah, though I walk through the valley, I will have no fear, no fear. The mighty power of Jesus is fighting for me here. No fear, no. If I got my eyes on you, no fear, no God's over my life, not over my battles, not over my struggles, not over my life. God's over my life, not over my family, not over my future, not over my life. God's over my life, not over my battles, not over my struggles, not over my life. God's over my life. Yeah, though I walk through the valley, willing to die for their faith. But you were with them in the fire, and they walked out the next day. And Daniel met a lion because he chose to pray. But you shut the mouth of that lion, and he walked out the next day. So what's gonna be said of me when it's all said and done? Will I stand for my beliefs, or will I turn around and run? Well, let the whole world hear me say, I'm unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth that changed my life. For the name above all names, I'm unashamed. And I will live my faith out loud, take a stand and stand my ground for the one who took my shame.
again, we're here with Steph Schleter here on Behind the Tunes from the Visible Music College Studios check him out at SethSchlieder.com. Well, Seth, do you remember? Now, I got to be careful because you're a younger guy, right? So we'll navigate this question in some way. Do you remember the first album you bought with your own money?
Wow. To be honest, I don't know if I've ever bought an album.
I see. I knew that's why I get nervous with this question.
All right, we listened to them. Here's the funny thing. So we listened to them a decent amount because we had like a whole shelf full because my parents, like my dad collected so much music over the years. So we had like a whole shelf full and I would get anytime I like wanted something. This is just the way we were raised. Like we go to the library and get it. So like there'd be like different CDs that I'd be like, all right, like I remember, you know, the Wow Hits was always a big one that I'll go back to. And it was only Christian music. Was like, that's basically all, again, sheltered homeschooler, like, you know, couldn't really do much. So it was like Christian music, and the library didn't have a ton of that. But what it did have, you know, I remember like Toby Mac, I remember Matt Maher, obviously like I said, the Wow Hits, Chris Tomlin. I would just get them from the library. and occasionally like during like for Christmas or Easter, we would get like a CD or something. So I definitely listened to actually quite a few CDs. I just can't remember ever actually buying a CD, which is so funny.
Do you remember the first one you got from the library?
Like in my mind, it is Wow Hits. Like it was like those Wow Hit CDs.
You know what's funny, man? Is this is my second interview in a row where getting CDs from the library has come up.
Really?
Yeah, had We the Kingdom on recently. Yeah. And one of the guys in there was like, yeah, you just go to the library and check out CDs. I was like,
dude, that's right. Hilarious.
It was Napster. Yeah, it was Napster before Napster was Napster, I guess, you know.
Well, and then the funny with Napster was we would when we had my dad got Napster and he ended up starting his own film company. So he went from like ministry to film company.
Yeah.
And then and one of the things he would do is he would do films for weddings or for funerals. And so back in the day, they would send you a ton of pictures that you would scan in like a scanner and you'd upload it and to make like a PowerPoint for the wedding or the funeral, not PowerPoint, slideshow, montage, whatever thing, you know. And my dad figured that he could enlist us kids in doing that easy work. And so we would just be in his little office in the basement and we would be scanning the pictures and uploading that, all that different stuff. I had no idea what I was even doing. He just showed me what to do and I just monkey see monkey do type
That's
thing.
Right.
The reward was we got to listen to Napster. And so I remember being in a huge Cutlass phase. I would like
go through
the songs. Reliant K was another big one I remember catching on to pretty early. So it was like that was like kind of when we began to explore a little more, kind of like a little like not so mainstream Christian, but we still had to be Christian, you know. So we'd listen to that, and then I think we got like paid 5 cents per picture. So, you know. great rate right now. So,
you guys should have unionized and
honestly, if we would have known. But that's the thing, Napster was so exciting for us. We're like, Napster, no way.
Napster and a nickel, man. That's all right. You guys were ready to
I
go.
Know, right?
All right. Well, with that in mind, you mentioned a few there, Cutlass or Light K, and then going back to the Wow Records from the library. If you kind of a goofy question here, but have some fun with it. If you could open up for anybody, dead or alive, who would it be?
Rich Mullins.
Yeah.
100%. I think like, I like his music. I mean, obviously his music has been so influential. I think for me, it would be more just the person that he was, you know, like you just hear these crazy stories about like the kind of person he was, how humble he was, how talented, but how just like so in it for the Lord he was. Like, there's just so many things that I'm like, I would just love to spend time with you on the road, yeah. Get a witness, like what, and he was obviously so creative and, you know, such a prodigy in so many ways, but I feel like just opening for him, I would learn so much and it'd be a spiritual experience.
Great Aunt Marine said at 103, write scripture on your heart for when you need it. 'Cause anxiety hates Psalm 23. So just say it to yourself till you believe it. And I'm feeling like I'm needing it right now. Captives run free. He's tearing down the walls. He's tearing.